Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Perhaps you've noticed on our program, when I do an interview, I always like to ask the person, tell us how you came to know Christ. And I love the stories. Well, I was just baptized and raised in Christ. I've always known Jesus. Or it was during my divorce that I came to know Christ. Or I was in a treatment program and I came to know Christ. Or when I was 7, Grandma prayed with me. But there's wonderful stories of how people come to Christ. But there's normally 6 steps involved. So what I want to do on this program is to share the 6 steps of salvation. If you would, take out your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 10, and let's see what they are, but let's pray first. Father, we pray that if there's anyone watching this program and they're not saved, they're not trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, that you'd bring that person to salvation. And Lord, speak to us now how we should all be out there bringing the good news of Christ to others. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. We're going to start at verse 13, and Paul writes, "Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." I want you to catch the good news of whoever. Whoever will come to Christ, will be saved. We've been doing this TV show for 37 years. I've been able to interview some trophies of God's grace. Here was a former prostitute, comes to Christ. She's helping women out of prostitution. Here was a New Age woman into the occult and New Age teaching. She now helps people out of that. We've interviewed former abortion nurses, former homosexuals, and there's good news that whoever, no matter what you've done, if you'll come to Christ, you'll be saved and forgiven. Years ago, remember Ted Bundy, the mass murderer? Before he went to the electric chair, he repented and accepted Christ. Somebody did an interview with him. I mentioned that in a sermon, and one of the older men of the church got a little upset with me, and he didn't think it was fair that Ted Bundy could go to heaven. And I tried to make the point, it's not fair that any of us go to heaven. There's good news in the word whoever in verse 13. And also, before we leave verse 13, I want you to notice something. The word Lord in verse 13 refers to Jesus. We know that because of verse 9. And in verse 13, the Apostle Paul is quoting the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2. And in Joel chapter 2, where it talks about calling on the name of the Lord, that's a reference to the Old Testament Jehovah God. Paul takes that verse in the New Testament and applies it to Jesus. So in Paul's mind, Jesus is the Old Testament Jehovah God. Therefore, it is proper to pray to Jesus. Now, I'm a Lutheran pastor, and somebody told me they were talking to a different Lutheran pastor who said, you don't pray to Jesus. That's like the Catholics praying to Mary. And this person said, is he right? And I said, no, he's not right. There's one God in three persons, God the Father, Jesus, the Son, the Holy Spirit. When you pray to one, they're all hearing. There's only one God, but you can pray to each person of the Trinity. The norm is you pray to God the Father, and then you close your prayer in Jesus' name. But are there instances in the New Testament where people pray directly to Jesus? There are, so it's proper. I remember a dear pastor's wife who went through a lot of pain. And one day she says, Tom, there are days I lie here, I'm in such pain I can't even pray. All I can say is, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The Orthodox Church has what they call the Jesus Prayer. It goes like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It is fine to pray to Jesus. Now I want us to look at the six steps of salvation. How you got saved, I got saved. Look at verse 14. Paul writes, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have never heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? All right, that verse shows the six steps of salvation, but they're backwards, so let's put them in order. Step number one, a preacher is sent. Step two, the preacher preaches Christ. Step three, a person hears it. Step four, a person believes it. Step five, a person calls upon Christ. And step six, the person is saved. Let's go through each step. Step number one, the preacher is sent. I hope you go to a good church that sends out missionaries. Every church should be part of sending out preachers to preach the gospel. I want to recommend a book to you called From Jerusalem to Irian-Jaya. It's the history of Christian missions through the ages. Great stories in here, like of Amy Carmichael. She lived in England in the 1800s. She left England and she moved to India. And for 55 years, without a furlough, she labored to get girls out of Hindu temple prostitution and to bring them to Christ. Great stories. But, you know, the first step in salvation is God sends you somebody. It might be Amy Carmichael. It might be your grandma. It might be somebody at a Bible camp. But God sends you somebody. And then the second step of salvation, the preacher preaches Christ. First he's sent, but then he preaches Christ. We have so many in the church today who do not preach Christ. Let me give you an example. I used to be a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the very big liberal denomination. I led my congregation out, and we joined the more conservative branch of Lutheranism because the head bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, she just came out with a gay pride video in which she urges Lutherans to sign a pledge committing themselves to gay pride. What is she preaching? She's never made a video encouraging everybody to sign a pledge to support world missions. But for gay pride, she'll send out a video. She was asked by a Chicago newspaper, Bishop Eaton, is there a hell? She said, there may be, but it's empty. I think it's empty. She has said that it's not really the business so much of the church to save souls. So what is the business of the ELCA Lutherans and some of these other denominations that have gone liberal? It's liberal politics. You go to the ELCU website, it's liberal politics after liberal politics after liberal politics. Bishop Eaton, back when Biden was president, went to the White House to promote abortion rights. What is she preaching? So many in the church aren't preaching Christ anymore. And then on the other side of the continuum, you've got the health and wealth prosperity preachers on TV that God is going to make you rich, and you believe God, you're going to get that better car, that better job. You just need to have a positive, happy attitude and just believe, and you're going to be healed of all your diseases. And no, that's not what we preach. Paul the Apostle said, Corinthians, when I came to Corinth, I made up my mind to know nothing among you except Christ crucified. And if you're a pastor, happen to watch this show right now, can I say this to the pastors? Pastor, your job, your main job, is not to be a counselor or a positive thinking preacher or a financial advisor. Your main job is to preach Christ. I remember when I was a young preacher, I went to a Christian bookstore. They had a picture on the wall that I should have bought. and it was a picture of an old man with his hands on the shoulders of a young man looking him right in the eye, and the caption was, "Preach the gospel." Billy Graham told a story that when he was a younger preacher, he gave a crusade and almost nobody came up afterward to receive Christ. And he's wondering what happened. And an older man said to him, "Billy, tonight you didn't preach the cross." And he determined that he was going to try to work the cross in to the rest of his sermons, which he did. So, number one step in salvation, somebody is sent to you. Second step in salvation, they don't preach politics, they preach Christ to you. The third step of salvation, it says a person hears. You got to hear it. So, a couple weeks ago, I'm in church, and a lady further down on the end of the pew there, for the other end of the pew, older lady, right in the middle of the service, her phone goes off. She takes out her purse, looks at, reads the thing, and puts it back. A couple minutes later, it goes off again. She takes out her purse. I'm thinking, lady, turn off your phone. Listen, the devil hates it when you hear the word of God, so he'll do anything to distract you. I've had parents tell me the worst hour of the week is the hour before church, trying to get their kids ready to go to church. I remember my last fist fight with my brother. It was on our way to church. So Satan will fight you from hearing the word of God. It troubles me when I go to church and young people, and now old people, during the service are looking at their phone texting. Turn off your phone so you can hear the word of God. To be saved, somebody's sent to you. They preach Christ. You've got to hear it. And then the fourth step of salvation, a person believes. You have to believe to be saved. I've told this story before, but it'll make my point. One day I'm at the church office and I get a phone call from a dear woman of my church. Her husband never came. And she says, "Pastor Tom, could you come to the house? My husband is dying. He's an atheist. But would you come talk to him?" So I went to their home, and here he was in a hospital bed in the middle of their living room. And I pulled up my chair and, "Well, Mr. So-and-so, it looks like you don't have much time left. So I just want to share with you the most important thing I know. We're all sinners, but God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins so we could be forgiven. He rose from the dead. The Bible promises you if you will turn to Christ and put your trust in him, you will be saved. Would you like to accept Christ right now?" And he looked at me with a little bit of anger and he said, "No." And I will never forget his wife getting on her knees next to the bed, holding his hands, begging him to accept Christ. And he looked at her, "No." And that's the way he died. He heard it, but he didn't believe it. But then one day I got a different phone call. "Pastor Tom, you don't know us, but we see your TV show. And my husband is an atheist, but he likes you. And he's dying, and I asked if you would come to the house," and he'd say, "Okay, that's okay. So would you come?" "No." I said, "I'll call you right back." And I put the phone down and I prayed. "Lord, I didn't know where they lived, and we don't know who these, but it was like the Lord said, "You go." So I picked up the phone. I said, "I'm coming." Turned out they were two blocks from my church. I went over there, and the wife answered the door. The wife was a dear Christian lady. She's been praying for this guy for 50 years. She led me into the room there, and here he is kind of crumpled up in the wheelchair, kind of an ornery guy. "Well, I don't know if I believe in the Trinity, Pastor." I said, "Well, we should believe in the Trinity. There's one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit." And then I said, "But can I share this with you?" And I sat next to him, and I read through to him this little salvation pamphlet on how to receive Christ. And at the end it says, "Would you like to pray and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And he said, "I would." And his wife is sitting next to me. She's been praying in tongues under her voice. She went crazy. And he prayed and he accepted Christ, and I think within a day or two, he was dead. But notice the difference between those two men. One responded with faith, and one said, no, thank you. To be saved, you have to hear it. The preacher has to preach it, preach Christ. You have to believe it is the step. And then, the next step, you call upon the name of the Lord. He who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, can you be a Christian and not donate as much as you should to the church, to missions? I think you can. Can you be a Christian and not witness and share your faith as much as you should? I think so. Can you be a Christian and not do works of mercy and kindness like you should? I think so. Can you be a Christian and never pray? I don't think so. This verse says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord, that means pray, will be saved. I remember there was an older couple in my church. They were there every Sunday. But I remember when their adult daughter said to me, Pastor Tom, never once in my life have I heard my mom and dad pray, not even at the dinner table. And that scared me. I think you need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. All right, here are the steps of salvation. Number one, a preacher is sent. Number two, the preacher preaches Christ crucified. Number three, the person hears it, the person believes it, the person calls upon the name of Christ. Last step of salvation, and it says, the person is saved. I remember once I was flying maybe to Washington State, and I'm on the plane, I take my Bible out and I'm reading it. I'm sitting next to an older Native American gentleman, and when I take my Bible out, he takes his Bible out and reads it, and we had a wonderful talk. I think he was the chief of the Blackfoot Nation, and he told me how he had a life troubled by alcohol and how Jesus saved him. There's a story many years ago of an Indian chief who came to Christ, and some of the other chiefs heard about it and came to him, and they said, what does this mean that you're saved? And he took a handful of dry wood chips and put them on in a circle on the ground. He lit them on fire, and then he took a worm and put the worm in the middle of the ring. And they watched the worm try to get out this way and then try to get out that way, but kept going back. Finally, the chief took his hand, pulled the worm out of the ring and set it aside, and he said, I was that worm. I could not save myself. But one day our great chief, Jesus Christ, comes down from heaven, dies for my sins on the cross, rises from the dead, forgave me, and he pulled me out of the fire. That's what it means to be saved. One last point. Let's look at verse 15. How shall they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written in the Old Testament? Behold, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Now, I want you just to ask yourself a question right now. Who is it that first brought you the good news of Christ? Can you think it was a grandma or a teacher or a friend or a counselor? Who is it that first told you the good news of Christ? Whose feet brought you the good news? I'm just going to encourage you, if that person is still alive, thank them. I hunted down my old pastor from a gazillion years ago and wrote him a thank you. Maybe call somebody, write him a note, send him a text. But if that person is still alive, maybe you want to thank them. And then I want you to ask yourself this question too. Is there somebody in my life right now and my feet need to bring them the gospel? Can you think of someone in your life right now that the Lord wants you to talk to about Christ? Do it. And I've shared this before, but you know, I have these little salvation pamphlets, and I use these all the time now. I bought a bunch of them, and I put it normally in my pocket when I go out the door of my house. I'm not pushy, and I'm nervous too about sharing my faith, but it's amazing how much now I can easily say something like, well, this is a really important message to me. Can I give it to you? I ask permission. Can I give it to you? I'd say 85%, 90% of the time, yeah, I'll take it, you know. And just a person gets saved because somebody is sent to them. They preach Christ. Somebody hears it, believes it, and then they are saved. Would you be part of this? Just let's take a moment to close in prayer. Father, again, if there's anyone here that has not put their faith in Jesus, bring that person to saving Christ, faith in Christ, and get them into a good church. But Lord, for those of us who are Christians, help us thank the person who brought us there, and use our feet also to bring the good news of Christ to others. In his name we pray. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question is from a viewer. I'm struggling to find a biblically sound church on Long Island that does not include loud rock praise music. I continue to attend a fairly conservative Episcopal church, but I'm not happy with how liberal it has become in the denomination. Do you have any advice?
Yes, the Episcopal Church in America, believe it or not, is maybe even more liberal than the Presbyterian Church USA, the ELCA Lutherans, the United Methodists. It's very far left of center. Pro-abortion rights, pro-LGBT, praying to God the Mother sometimes. So here's my advice. I would rather be part of a denomination which is biblical and has music I don't like than go to a congregation that has beautiful music and the pastor's getting up and denying that Christ is necessary for salvation. So to me, that's more important. However, the best of both worlds, find a good, and you know, I would encourage her to leave the Episcopal Church and join the Anglican Church of North America, which is a good biblical Episcopal denomination, and to get out of the larger Episcopal Church in America. But yeah, we all have to put up with certain things we don't like in a church, but if she can find a good Anglican church in North America that has the music she likes, that's the best of both worlds, but sometimes you have to settle.
Amen.
Yeah.
I have tried to talk to people about Jesus, but I have never been successful. Any advice?
Well, you know, the sermon I just preached was out of Romans 10. And it says this in Romans 10, 6, let's see, Romans 10, 16. However, they did not all believe the good news, for Isaiah says, and he's quoting the Old Testament, Lord, who has believed our report? So even though Isaiah preached the truth and Paul preached the truth, a lot of people rejected it. Mm-hmm. So what I like is Bill Bright's definition of witnessing, how to share the gospel. Quote, the Campus Crusade for Christ, huge evangelism group. Quote, successful witnessing is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Mm-hmm. Our job is to tell it. It's the Lord's Holy Spirit's job to convert. Mm-hmm. We've had on this program Glenn Grunhagen, a state senator here in Liberal, Minnesota. He's a conservative, Bible-believing Christian. I said to him on this show, it would drive me nuts to be in the lion's den like you are in our liberal state legislature. And I said, how do you do that? And he said, I learned years ago, my job is just to speak the truth. That's all I can do. I leave the results to God. Mm-hmm. Same with witnessing.
True.
Yeah.
I am a Christian, but my faith can get very weak. How can I have stronger faith?
Yeah. Again, Romans 10, the chapter we just preached from, Paul writes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more I hear the word of God, the stronger my faith will become. So you go to a church where you're hearing good biblical sermons, read your Bible every day. Well, I've said this before, I love to lie in my bed and hit the Bible.is app. It's free. And it just reads the Bible to you. So I maybe will spend 20 minutes just lying in bed. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Listen to Christian radio, Christian music. But the more I ingest the Word of God, that's how you build your faith.
We all need the gospel.
Yeah.
What do I say to someone who says, you have your truth and I have my truth?
Yeah, this is called relativism. There are no absolute truth. You make up your truth. I make up my truth. So, Mona, I know you're married and you don't believe adultery is for you. But my husband and I have discovered adultery really spices up our marriage. So I know you, it's not your truth, but it's our truth. And here's what I say. Let's both go to the top of the Empire State Building. You tell me you're going to jump. I say, don't jump. There's this thing called gravity. And you say to me, well, I'm glad gravity works for you, but it's not my truth. And you jump and you die because God is the one who has made up the truth of the universe. Gravity, thou shalt not commit adultery, etc. You go against God's rules with your own truth, you're going to get hurt. So that's what I'd say.
That's true. What about those who never hear about Christ? Are you saying they are not going to be saved?
I would just encourage everyone to read carefully Romans chapter 10. You have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But how will they call upon them if they don't have a preacher? Mm-hmm. And how will the preacher get out there if nobody sends them? The way I read Scripture, you need to hear about Christ and believe in Him to be saved. Yeah.
Okay. My question is from Galatians 5, verse 1 and 13 through 18. My pastor says that we are no longer under the law, but grace, because of Galatians 5, 18. I said that Romans 7, 15 through 23 says that the law is not in conflict with Jesus. She went on to say that the commandments in the law of the Old Testament are not for us today. I tried to explain we need laws and commandments for Christian living. What are your thoughts on this passage?
Well, her female pastor, which I don't believe in, 1 Timothy 2 says women should not preach over adult men. But, nevertheless, she's part right and part wrong. There are portions of the New Testament that don't apply to New Testament Christians anymore. We don't have to kill lambs when we sin, mm-hmm. like the Jews did. We can eat pork. In Mark 7, Jesus declared all foods clean. Old Testament Jews couldn't eat pork because God was making them special, separate from the nations. Now we're in a new day. You can eat pork as a Christian. But the moral law of the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, that, of course, continues. So we need to be careful on this, but what's called the sacrificial laws, the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, we don't have to observe.
Okay.
But the moral law is the same.
The same.
We've only got 18 seconds, so everybody, thanks for joining us. Go to pastorstudy.org if the Lord would encourage you to support us and keep us on the air. And there you go.
Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God's word doesn't change. See you next time on the Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.